Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey everyone, welcome to Inverse. My name's Justin Kim. This is a Bible study show with young adults, some who are younger, some who are older, but we're all around the Word of God and we study what God's will is for us. And hopefully that you are studying with us in the Bible, with your phones, with your books, and with the Inverse Bible Study Guide, of which you can download at inversebible.org. And we are in the quarter called Joshua, the sixth book of the Old Testament. We've been fighting battles and we've seen rivers open up and walls come down and the sun stand still. It's been quite a journey. And on that journey today, we have Felicia and Joe to my right, and we have Jono to my left.
Hi.
And then we have you guys. We have a word of prayer. Felicia, can you lead us to the Lord's throne?
Father, we thank you so much for the land that you have promised. It's not the land that we tend to think about, but it is a place where we can be with you in your presence forever. As we study today's lesson, Lord, may it take root in our hearts and bear fruit. Strengthen our faith in you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to ask before you actually read scripture, and we're going to go to chapter 13. We are kind of in the middle of the journey here, mm-hmm. as Felicia was referencing in her prayer. And what are some things that you guys remember on this journey that we've been in with Joshua as our leader through Canaan and destroying some and then not destroying others? And what some thoughts and some points that still remain with you that you didn't have when we started to study Joshua? Jonathan?
Yeah, for me, I think the study on the Gibeonites. That was awesome. Yeah. I've never really paid much attention to them.
Yeah.
And I knew the story, but as we were studying it, the profoundness of God's grace really came through. Mm-hmm. And in the light of the fact that they were supposed to be destroyed, mm-hmm. that is a powerful insight that mm-hmm. I hadn't really realized before. And that God is willing to work despite the messy situation, the deception, and then the lack of the Israelite, because both sides were making mistakes. Mm-hmm. The Israelites not, consulting with God. Mm-hmm. God's grace was
like in that total mess.
Yeah,
the good stuff happens.
And then not only like, hey, we're not going to destroy you. You're going to be part of our system. Mm-hmm. In fact, you're going to serve the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah, yeah. And I think the implications for us as a church today with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, the biggest takeaway is just leadership and how important it is to have someone leading you and interceding for you as Moses was, and having this reminder that even when there is a transition of leadership, our confidence need not be shaken. We can still be grounded, and how important it is to have someone that a mentor, someone that we are looking to guide us. I remember the story with Moses, when Moses was still alive and they were worshiping at the golden calf, and Joshua said, there's a sound of war. Mm. But Moses, being older and wiser and having that contact with God, he's like, that's not the sound of war. Mm-hmm. So when we have leaders, they help us to discern some of the noise around us. So that's what I love about the story of Joshua so far.
That's a cool thought. I've never thought of that.
Very good. Like that. Very good. Joe?
The need to ask counsel of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've read
back
about
to the Gibeonites story. Was that the Gibeonites
story? That's one incident. Yep. Also maybe Ai and Russians in there.
Yep.
And just, the proclivity to rush ahead when there's something to do. And needing to pause and really make sure you're getting your instructions or directions from God.
Yeah, hey, that's
a good one. I need that in my life. I feel convicted about that when I'm reading Joshua.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah, something so logical. Like, of course, that would be the logical thing to do. I'm like, and there are other things like, no, that's very arduous. That's not logical. But yeah, no, go across the river now at this time when it's the highest. And, these people want to come. Yeah. No, don't invite them into you. It's just kind of like, good. For me, I think it's be courageous, be of strength, be strong and of good courage. Can't get my words. Be strong and good courage. And I love how this was the counsel that Joshua himself needed, but later as he embodied it and he's processing, he's digesting it, that he now needs to be the message bearer to the people, and the people need that message too. So often the leader is not the one that solves the problem of the people, but the one that embodies the quality that the people need. Mm-hmm. And it becomes the example. I think we can all attest that we look to leaders who want to solve all our problems and be the savior and the messiah and then whatever, but they often are a flawed person just like us. Mm-hmm. And God uses them. They're in this essence, they're showcased in front of the people, and their weaknesses are overcome. That's a point of victory. Mm. Let's go to Joshua chapter 14. And Joe, can you read verse 6 through 14 for us?
Yes, this is about Caleb. Mm-hmm. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore in that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as in the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel.
All right. Awesome. 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 These are one of those accounts where you're just like, wow, or this guy.
Yeah.
All right. So just make it an open fishing, open season. What are things that pop out to you? This episode is called Caleb's Inheritance. What do you see about Caleb here in the midst of Joshua? What do you see about Caleb's account?
Sometimes throughout the story, I feel like Caleb is sort of overshadowed, you know, out of the 12 spies. You have Joshua, and then it's like, oh, that's right, there was Caleb. Mm. I love the fact how he says he is just as strong today as was when Moses first kept him. So we see God's faithfulness in the story of Caleb. Mm-hmm. He was faithful to the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, and he had to wander with the people those 40 years. Sometimes we think, if other people sin, I shouldn't have to suffer. But we see that Caleb, I'm guessing, was submissive to that walking through the wilderness. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like this insistence, well, they did not believe, they should wander, but Lord, you should let me cross over. And we see that throughout the Bible.
He wasn't bitter in any way. I mean, he wasn't like, man, I was one of the faithful ones, but I got stuck walking for 40 years.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's just as faithful. I think bitterness, if you don't mind me interrupting, like in Hebrews, it's the root of bitterness. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's a little seed, it sticks there, and after 45 years, you think that bitterness would have manifested itself in some way, but you don't see any sign of that fruit.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you see God being faithful and honoring him and giving him this possession. And not only is God faithful in giving him the possession, God is faithful in keeping his strength, his vitality. The rest of the men... The rest of the people are described as their carcasses fell in the wilderness until they wasted away. But here he's 85 and he is still able to go out to battle.
Yeah.
And so God is faithful not just in material things, but also in the not so material things. Yeah. So God's faithfulness is what I think.
I imagine something like this kind of Ernest Hemingway kind of figure. Like he's an old man, but he's still
strong.
And his humongous wrists, and he can bring in a fishing net and he's got wielding a sword and he's like, I'm 85 years old.
It
was like a 60 for all. I was like, I'm so tired, you know. Joe?
Yeah, I mean, it's more than God even promised. And God gives us extra blessings. He promised, you know, that you'll make it there to Canaan, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it's not just that. You're going to arrive strong. Mm-hmm. You're going to arrive mighty. Mm-hmm. And you can take on the mightiest of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And he considered that a privilege to be able to fight the greatest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in contrast, I don't know if we get to chapter 17, but you have the Ephraimites who can... They don't want to fight the mightiest.
Yeah.
They consider that an obstacle, an annoyance. No, he considers it a privilege. Let me take on this challenge.
Yeah, I think they use an excuse of the iron chariots. Yeah. And they're like, there's an excuse. But he's like, you know, there's an excuse. But the excuse is my reason of being. Mm-hmm. I'm going to solve this. I just love it.
He has experienced in his walk with the Lord, God's faithfulness in all these crazy battles and crazy experiences. And he's one of those few who learned lessons from it, and remained, as you mentioned, like in that journey. He's a huge inspiration. Mm-hmm. Of faithfulness. Like I want to be 85 years old and be like not just strong, you know, physically, but have be so in tune with the Spirit to know that we should do this, you know, because we talked earlier about like, hey, well, the Israelites, they didn't counsel with the Lord. They weren't in tune with the Spirit. They didn't know what was the right thing to do. Caleb knows what's the right thing to do because he knows Jesus, mm-hmm. right? He has that connection. That is that the spiritual maturity that we see here is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it manifests, of course, in a very physical, you know, actions in fighting these giants and then on this mighty hill or mountain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's inspiring. I can think of individuals that I know in my church that kind of reflect a little bit this, and they're old and dim, but they still are strong in the Lord and they're doing things, not because they don't want to give up, because just because God is blessing them and they're inspiring to young people. So, by God's grace, I hope that if Jesus doesn't come before we turn 85, I hope that we, you know, can aspire to be the same.
You can still go to war at 85.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, in this passage, I really see the repetition of the name of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant, sent me. Verse 9, so Moses swore that day. Verse 10, since the Lord spoke this word to Moses. It's kind of like, you guys know that American political... byline, like, hey, I worked with John F. Kennedy. I spoke with John. I don't know if this is the right, but I sat with John F. Kennedy. I knew John F. Kennedy. You're no John F. Kennedy. Like it's a classic line that killed the, I don't know who said it, but he killed the opposition. It's like he's saying like him and Joshua were like the two boys that Moses like really liked, the two the two spy guys. And it's like, I knew Moses. I heard Moses sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has that unction.
It's kind of funny. He says it to Joshua, just like, yeah, I was there. I mean, like, uh-huh.
Yeah. Which makes me think like, and I don't know, I know our ages are like a little different, but he was 40 when he was sent out, when he was younger, and then in 85, he's older. And I would just assume like, you know, young adults have, and I don't know if I guess I'm not in the category anymore, and that's another story altogether.
Honorary.
Yeah, so like a lot of young adults have ideals, right? Ideals of let's take over the world. We're going to do this and I'm going to do this. And, you know, whatever it is, it's in its pure form, and there's no experience there. So there's no like, what if this goes wrong hypotheticals. It's all like ideal. And as life progresses, and like I'm in my 40s, so not Caleb 40s, but like right now, you know, modern day 40s, you know, kind of experience kind of sets in. We're like, oh man, I did that, and that didn't work so well. I got burnt by this, and this person burnt me, and kind of the root of bitterness, a little bit of it, and the unfairness, injustice, and I'm like, oh man, that person, like all these things happen, and yeah, I feel myself like those ideas start kind of.
Yeah,
they're still there, but they're not shiny anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that scares some of us who are adulting.
Yeah.
They're like, man, what if like those ideals aren't as sparkly anymore? Does that mean, is that my fate? Is my faith lessened?
Mm-hmm.
Or is God just more like, you know, gets his hands? Like, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see older people who are completely bitter,
mm-hmm.
who are completely, you know, cynical. Not all old people, but you do see more of it than you do in the young adult years. And then when you just see someone who has their ideals, mm-hmm. still just as sparkly, but also with the experience,
yeah.
mm-hmm. And the two are compatible with each other, that just gives me a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of hope,
yeah.
you know?
That's
and
really
just
good.
It just it makes my faith result. It's not a naive faith. Mm-hmm. It's a very experienced faith, but just as ideal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's yeah, been tempered.
Just as high. It's been tempered.
In Titus 2, verse 3 to 5, where it talks about older women teaching younger women, mm-hmm. that word there is this sobering up. But it's when you go into deeper, it's talking about the younger women have these sort of ideals mm-hmm. and these fantasies about marriage and childhood. And so you have an older, wiser woman mm-hmm. who's coming to bring it together, not to dampen the flame, but contain it in such a way where it is healthy, where it mm-hmm. still gives warmth, it still gets light, mm-hmm. Still gives life. Mm-hmm. So you don't want the fire to die down and you don't want the fire to be raging. Mm-hmm. And so you have that person to just contain it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I hear you talking mm-hmm. about and going back to why we need leaders and yeah. mentors, godly centered people to help us sober up, yeah. to keep the ideals.
I mean, I love the imagery because the heat, it doesn't burn mm-hmm. and damage, it tempers.
Yeah.
It just solidifies, it purifies. Right. It's just a lot more, you know, like just together.
Yeah.
And you just see it in Caleb. Like, we don't hear his intonation of voice, but you just hear him being all the more, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
courageous, you know? And
it's inspiring. I mean, if I was a young person there and I would hear him talk and I see him, maybe I've seen him all my life, I would be like, hey, let me go with you. Like can I fight with you?
Yeah.
I hope, and I'm sure it did, he, you know, as a leader of his clan and others, that he was inspiring faith in them to take on the battle, because he wasn't fighting it alone. It wasn't mm-hmm. a, you know, David versus Goliath situation. It was
sure.
a bunch of Calebs, hopefully. And that is something that I believe is crucial for us as we age, as we go on this journey to recognize, hey, we have an influence over others, and our faithfulness can inspire others as well. Mm-hmm. Joshua and Caleb were probably the oldest individuals mm-hmm. in all of Israel at this
yep.
time. And so they were giants, spiritual giants.
Mm.
And yeah, I just, it's very sad. You mentioned older people who are very bitter and so on, to see that. And it comes down to, I think, a daily decision that we have to make to not let the bitterness of the world, the bitterness of the experiences
yeah.
that we may be facing,
mm-hmm.
Penetrate too deeply. By going to the Lord, by bringing it to the Lord,
yeah.
and by staying, you know, focused on what matters and where Jesus is leading,
mm-hmm.
and what the ultimate mission is. Yeah, there are battles, there are issues in between, but the promised land, you know, the goal is still there, and the promises of God are still true, even when there are some clouds. So,
mm-hmm.
But that's a daily decision we have to make
yeah.
as we trust
mm-hmm.
Him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring your attention to a couple of things. Chapter 14, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
It said, what's it say? The Hebron therefore became an inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite to this day. Yeah, interesting name. And then I love, because he wholly
yeah.
followed the Lord, God
holy.
Of Israel. And that adverb doesn't need to be there. You can just, he followed the
yeah.
Lord, but he wholly followed. I mean, you
yeah.
just see, oh, he's going all out. And then chapter 15, verse 15. Oh, let's go to chapter 15, verse 14. Chapter 15, 14, Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there. So we said, hey, give me that mountain. I'm going to drive out the Anakim. And Anakim is just the plural of Anak, right? So the three sons of Anak, and then it mentions them by name, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And then right at verse 15, like, he's like, give me this mountain. I want to drive out. But then he's like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
In verse 15, then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly, the name of Debir was Kirjathsepher. Like, I don't know who these people are,
yeah.
Debirites, but it just gives you this, like, hey, give me this mountain. It's going to be hard. And he drives them out. And after he's done, he's like, all right.
Give me more.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know what this reminds me of?
This is awesome.
The story of Desmond Doss, when he's like, Lord, just give
yeah.
me one more,
yeah.
one more. And one way that we could look at this is, especially in the mission field, when you see a field that seems so difficult, whether that's your neighborhood or your college campus, and everyone just seems so cold to the Lord, and you're like, Lord, I want this mountain. And then God gives it. There's a revival. And you're like, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I want this other city. I want this other town. I want this. Give me Scotland lest I die kind of attitude. That's what I'm getting from Caleb here.
Yeah. And then there's more mentality. I guess I want to open this question is, well, why, and then not just old or young, it's really everyone, right, regardless of age. Why are so people so happy with just settling for little? Mm-hmm. Why don't they, like, nah, that mountain, ah, do I have to get that mountain? Let the Anakin live there and Dabir, that's kind of far away. You know, I'm happy with my little hut here in the valley. Why don't we have this? What are some obstacles spiritually that we need to overcome, whether you're young or old, to overcome this kind of settled mentality?
Yeah.
I think it may be fear. Fear. To some degree, so that it's a big, there's this giants, there's this mountain, there's these big issues that you may be facing. And if you haven't experienced God in small things, you may not be quite ready for the big battle. Mm. So I guess my counsel would be to, hey, like, trust God with the smallest things in your life. Mm. Have you truly surrendered? Holy, what was it? He followed him wholly, right?
Yeah.
That includes not just the big
stuff.
Let's take promised land. That includes, you know, daily small decisions. And it's as we build on those daily decisions and the daily surrender to God, I think he prepares us for the mountain. Mm-hmm. That is not to say that when a mountain comes, when there's a big issue, that God can't give you the strength. I think he always he allows the things to happen and gives us then the appropriate amount of faith as well. Mm-hmm. So it's something, but it comes down to a daily decision. Mm-hmm. And if you're not used to that, then you may be like, you know what, I can't handle this. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's fear. I think it's laziness. Mm-hmm. Just settling, complacency, being satisfied
comfort.
With whatever, mm-hmm. status quo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This storyline in chapter 14 also provides an important timeline that I think gives us some insight on the endurance that these people had in accomplishing this mission. Because he said he was 40 years old when he was sent as a spy. And now he's 85 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, there was from Kadesh Barnea to the time they crossed the Jordan was in Deuteronomy, it says 38 years. Mm-hmm. So when he came into this land, he was 78 years old. Mm-hmm. So the conquest of Canaan took about 7 years mm-hmm. between their southern conquest and then after the, and that included Jericho and Ai and the sun standing still. And then chapter 11 records the northern conquest where the armies were even stronger with the iron chariots. Mm-hmm. And this just did not happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, a 7-year project is a long project. Mm-hmm. And that requires endurance. And so we live in a very fast-paced world right now, and a lot of us have a very short attention span. We get tired of one project after a few days. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is commitment. This is Caleb saying, give me this mountain, not after the day after crossing the Jordan, but 7 years after crossing mm-hmm. the Jordan. So he's been fighting battles. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been in the army for 7 years.
Yeah.
So this is endurance.
So that the word, like, be of good courage, take courage. And we do this basic stuff, but I just, the word encouragement has the word courage in it, yeah. right? I think encouragement is like, hey, mm-hmm. John, are you feeling bad? Be encouraged, buddy. Yeah. Like, it's just more of like this kind of be happy.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not. Like, be strong and get courage in your heart. And then discourage is when, and I know it's an elementary point, but it's when courage has left you.
Yeah.
And to your point, we get discouraged after a day, man. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, give me Scotland. I'm like, you know, I don't have Wi-Fi today. And I'm like, oh, well, all right, bye, Scotland. Like, you're talking about 7 years of like, Lord, like, help me to. And what can I do in 7 years or longer, right? And in the case of Caleb. Yeah.
I like your question because this is something that I struggle with personally. And I first started to notice it in high school. Mm. And I think for me, the problem is I confuse contentment with mediocrity. Mm. I think, oh, I'm just content with what God has given me. And I've put limits on myself and I mislabel it as contentment. And it seems so pious. It comes across as, oh, I'm just content with what God has given me. But in reality, that is putting God in a box and having this veil over my eyes and not pushing further. Mm. That's why I'm so grateful for my husband, because he's the dreamer. He sees big. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, you could do more. You could do this. And he just pushes me. And then I'm like, oh, God really wants to do more. Mm-hmm. So I think I would be that type. You know, I just get a plot of land and I'm just good with it. And God is like, there's a mountain. I'm like, oh, but I'm good with my plot of land. I'm content with it. Mm-hmm. But we need to be very careful. I need to be very careful with confusing contentment mm-hmm. with mediocrity and laziness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got fear, you got contentment, and we have... what'd you say?
Laziness.
Laziness. All right. I want to, we referenced it, but I want to go to Joshua 7:17. 17 and just read this verse because we did reference it. I think it's good. Chapter 17, let's see, where are we? Verse 14. 17:14. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now?" So Joshua answered them, "If you're a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you." But the children of Joseph said, "The mountain country is not enough for us. All the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron." Both those who are in Beth Shean and its towns and those who are of the Valley of Jezreel. So I would say, I think amen to, you know, we are lazy. We are, there's that contentment weird thing going on. There's fear. But sometimes it's just mere logic, right? And then we're just like, you know what? We don't have enough resources. Or those resources, it's too hard. I don't know the language. I don't have enough money. And then we just, that's enough to discourage us. And, well, you know, what's so big about chariots of iron? This kind of really sets it up for the book of Judges. You have all these Canaanites. They have the power of iron making, and the Israelites don't. And a lot of times they get conquered by whatever people, and they take away all their iron making. And so the Lord, and it's funny in the book of Judges, and I don't know if you're going to do a Bible study on
we
Judges.
We should sometime.
Yeah, it's... I mean, chapter 23, 24 are kind of crazy. There's a 21, 22. Anyway, towards the end. But like, God rebukes this mentality by saying this guy had an ox goad. The guy that had like a piece of, what is it? A little nail. And these small little things that you don't need iron chariots. You don't need big swords. You don't need axes or whatever. God can have the victory over these common things. And then he's actually addressing this mentality in the entire book of Judges. Wow. And so, you know, the same with us. Like, hey, we got to take over Scotland. Why can't you go to Scotland? Well, because, you know, I don't speak the Scottish language or whatever it is. I mean, we sometimes logic needs to be put aside, and it's by faith we just see what's out there. Last question: what are practical things we can get out from the life of Caleb, really quick? Takeaways.
I just feel like so many of us get into life; it's like going on a float down the river. We're just floating through life, and so you know, you just do your thing. You go to college and you get an education and get married and have kids and make your money and and you get into this rat race. But he challenged me to strive for more and to hold those young ideals. Give me this mountain.
Well, there you have
it. And not settle for complacency.
Let's do what Joe said. Let's not live a life of complacency, whether you're 40 or 85 years old or 185 years old. Let's say, give me this mountain. Give me this world, Lord Jesus, for your glory, whether it's going to Scotland or go to your neighborhood or your campus or your family. Say, Lord, give me more for your glory. Hopefully that's you. That's your prayer out there. I know it's my prayer. Lord, remove complacency, fear, laziness, and even logic. Give me more faith. And I know that's Joe and Felicia and Jonathan's prayer. And hopefully that's your prayer out there. Continue with us next week as we study the book of Joshua here in Inverse. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.